Get to Old Navy for Star Spangled Style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, Dodge. The G7 meeting is going on right now, and there appears to be a standoff that's going on between the US and Japan on currencies, where Japan has threatened to stop the yen's rise, which strengthened 15% from recent highs. As far as the US dollar will go, where do you think this, how do you think this will pan out?
Well, good morning, Julian. It is pretty clear this is very important, very critical. What is critical is that Japan needs the ability to act. It doesn't necessarily mean it will act. What we're seeing now with the interest rates hiked the fact that the Fed appears to be able to support increasing interest rates starting in June, that's helped U.S. Treasury yields move higher. When you combine that with the falling Japanese government bond yields, has resulted in a dollar boost against the yen, and so therefore, short term, there is a little less antagonism about this, and it's really what Tokyo is looking for is the ability to weaken the currency if necessary. And the real definition is, will there be enough volatility to support a decrease? And that's where the U.S. is coming and say, no, it's hard to imagine that could be. And then they take a look at the conditions after the Tohoku earthquake back in 2011, where G7 had collectively agreed on intervention to weaken the yen. And something like that, yes, but we're not seeing that kind of a possibility now. So it's going to continue for a while. I suspect that as long as the perception of U.S. interest rates increasing in June appears to be on the table, perhaps we'll be able to get through the politicking that will happen. And hopefully G7 will stand by and allow Tokyo to act if it has to. Now, from what I understand, Julian, U.S. has already indicated support for Japan to postpone its increase in the consumption tax from 8 to 10%, which is due next spring, obviously rescheduling it or fully compensating for it with an offsetting fiscal stimulus. That appears to be what the U.S. will support. So it's not totally antagonism. It's not totally one way. So hopefully we'll be able to get through to the other side.
And how quickly things have changed on interest rates views as well, because in the last few months, the odds were stacked for a very delayed interest rate rise. And last week, the U.S. markets were weak because traders were looking at the latest FOMC minutes and are now fearing a June rate hike. And a lot of the statements coming out of Fed chair people have become quite hawkish. And this would exacerbate the U.S. dollar strength problem for Japan and for the rest of the world as well.
Yes, Julian, yeah, it was a surprise. You look at the trading that took place afterwards, you looked at what, myself included, was expecting the increase not to happen this soon. Now it's a possibility. Now it's clear that the Fed is contemplating it as early as June. So that has changed the perception of raising interest rates. And you take a look at the number of companies over here who don't have excess cash who are actually increasing their debt levels, an increase in the interest rates as soon as June. That could be a real concern, a real risk in the market. Not that it's being priced in at this point, but you do see the volatility. The dollar volatility has been more to the downside than to the upside. And so as long as this is possible, and we won't know until the June meeting, there is going to be a more negative question above the market.
And how does, of course, the Fed has always said that an interest rate rise would depend on economic growth and economic numbers. And we saw the conclusion of the first quarter reporting season. How did it fare? Does it support conditions for an interest rate rise?
Well, from a purely economic view, it is possible that the Fed could justify it. It's really the non-economic, the geopolitical, all the other of the price of oil. All the other issues that are not related to pure economics that are really going to drive the ultimate decision, or perhaps, Julian, I should say, it will drive the perception of whether the Fed is right or wrong in whatever it does in June, because from an economic point of view, there may be a justification for a rise, but given all the attendant circumstances that the world is facing now, perhaps it's not the right time to do it. So there's enough of a question over the market and over the possibility of rising interest rates or not. But at this point now, the question that's being asked is in a much more negative character than it was 2 weeks ago.
What were your feelings about the first quarter earnings? Does it trigger any stock ideas for you?
Well, not exactly. The earnings were okay. It looks like we're muddling through. It looks like when one can invest in longer-term ideas, as long as one is willing to take all the volatility that's going to occur short-term, we're seeing a lot of sector rotation. And now gold is beginning to pull back, and oil is beginning to pull back, and yet they've particularly gold has had quite a run. Oil has been up and down, and is trading more like a commodity than ever. But in terms of actual investing, we're seeing fewer and fewer companies participating in the up move, and what we're seeing is that the stronger companies, the larger companies, some of those companies who have excess cash, and they're, you know, there are fewer of them. There are only 25 or so that really have good excess cash. They tend to be, even though some of them are more momentum oriented, they seem to be attracting continued support despite the volatility that we've been seeing. So, our reaction is that there is a narrowing of the opportunities, and one has to be willing to take greater volatility in order to make the longer term investment decisions now.
Yeah, the fact that a lot of U.S. companies are cash rich is interesting. And you mentioned only 25 companies that's holding a record of $1.8 trillion in cash. But the debt is worrying as well, because the other companies have about $6.6 trillion in total debt. Does this influence your worry about the market in any way?
Oh, yes, it does. The market is holding up pretty well, Julian, given that fact and the fact that we're seeing a greater contraction, fewer companies participating in the upside, but we haven't really seen any move to the downside. I mean, really the question is the cup half full or half empty? On one hand, the market has not been able to make new high during the past 12 months, but at the same time, the Dow and the S&P 500 have had an entire year to go down, and yet they're still within 4.5% of their all-time bull market highs. So there's really, the questions have not been resolved yet. We expect them to be. It's much too soon to anticipate what the answer is going to be. So there's no real conviction either on the bullish or the bearish side, and one just has to play through this. So we're trying to participate in the sector rotation as we can. But particularly we're seeing the high-yielding stocks continue to be the more attractive parts of the market.
Thanks so much. That was Dodge Dolan, Chief Investment Officer for Lander Infused Capital Managers in New York.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Get to Old Navy for Star Spangled Style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and OldNavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.